This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Coleman, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go. Put your hand together like that.
Keep it going, y'all. Keep it going.
There is no one like
one last time, Lord, we declare.
Who can?
Please join us for a word of prayer.
Let us bow. Father God, we come to you with our heads closed, eyes open, humble hearts. Just the simplest thing. Thank you for just watching over us, keeping us last night, speaking one word that we can see this day. Yesterday is gone, tomorrow's not promised, so we thank you for today. Father God, we just thank you for being the one constant in all the changes going on in our society. You still remain the same. For that we say thank you. We thank you, Father God, for being a God of another chance. For many times we come short of your glory, but you keep on blessing us and loving us anyhow. For that we say thank you. Father God, we just thank you for your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For without him, Father God, where would we be? But they're just holding our hands and never letting us go, Father God. We say thank you. Father God, in this wicked world that we live in, oh God, that there's just so many things around us, but you still remain the same. And you let us know that you still stand strong and tall, Father God. For that, we say thank you. We just thank you for the peace world, whether it be in this city, in this nation, in this world, oh God, we say thank you. Father God, we ask you to bless our church. Father God, we realize that we all do some things, but you have not brought us this far to leave. For that, Father God, we say thank you. We praise you in advance because we know victory is in your name, oh God. Father God, as we go through this upcoming week with Vacation Bible, we thank you for those who are going to be a part of the service, whether it be a teacher or a servant or just a listener of your word, oh God. Father God, we ask you special prayer of our babies, oh God, but as we look at our news and our society, the devil is truly on his mission to steal, to kill, and destroy. But we know God, Jesus, we have life, Father God. We have it more fun for that. We say thank you. We declare victory in his name, oh God. Father God, as we go throughout the service, then let everything be done to your will, to your way. Father God, bless our pastor as she comes forth on this day. Cover her, oh God, from the crown of her head, Father God, to the shoulder of me. Give her a word that we can receive with our heart and our mind and our eyes, as well as our ears, oh God, that we can serve and share the good news that your Son, Jesus, Lord, and that your word remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. We ask all these things in our Son, Jesus' name, before this day we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
Amazing grace, God's grace. It's truly amazing grace, God's grace is truly amazing grace. God's grace is truly amazing grace. God's grace is truly amazing grace. Amazing grace. God's grace is truly amazing.
The Bible says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God." Now let's join Pastor Colvin as she explores this topic further.
Lord God, we thank you for the gift of this day. We thank you for the gift of your amazing grace, oh God. We see how you are at work in our lives, and there are so many things that yet we cannot see. So thank you for your grace for all that you are doing. God, I pray that you use this message to teach us how you could have us to live as people of faith, as people of grace in this world. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart is acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Greater grace is our topic for today. And friends, the amazing thing about grace is that it always desires to take us to a greater place. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. The good news is that grace is not content to leave us be. If we're blind, grace intends for us to see. If we're weak, grace hopes and works so that we might be made strong. If we're physically or spiritually lame, the goal of grace is to help us to run on. The amazing thing about grace is that it's always taking us to a greater place. I wonder if there's anything going on in your life right now, in your world right now, that could use a little more grace, that could use a greater measure of grace. Are you trying to get a new position at work? Are you starting a new position? Are you signing up for more advanced classes? Are you walking away from something that's not God's best for your life? Are you doing a new thing that could use the blessing of a God who is always doing a new thing among us. Whatever it is, I stop by to tell you today that the presence of the Lord is here. And God is offering greater grace to each and every one of us to help us run our race. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Arguably, it is the most popular hymn of the Christian church. It was written in the 1700s by John Newton, who history will tell you played a role in the end of slavery in England. But that's not the whole story. Like most of us, Newton had a past. Amen, somebody. He was a minister who spoke out against slavery, yes, but he had also been a slaveholder. Won't God do it? Won't God's amazing grace, God's greater grace, take you to a greater place in your life? Won't God use even a sinner to save souls? Ephesians 2 said it this way, you heard it, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgression. It is by grace you have been saved. While we were dead in our transgressions, while we were still sinning and satisfied with that sin, while we were all about our will, our way, and were unconcerned about what God had to say. But because of God's great love for us, great grace kicks in. Because of God's great love for us, great grace kicks in. Not because we did a single thing to earn it or deserve it, but simply because of God's great love for us. And to be clear, grace is God loving us even when we're doing things that are unlovable. Grace is God loving us even when we are doing things that are unlovable. My parents can tell you that loving your baby while they are laughing or learning to make little funny faces or talk, loving your baby right then is easy. But loving your baby when they're yelling at the top of their lungs for no good reason, loving your baby through the third diaper in 30 minutes, that's a different kind of love. Loving your baby as they learn to walk, that's a different kind of excitement. But grace is God loving each of us as we fall over and over again. I don't know about you, but I give thanks to God that because of grace, our past doesn't have to prevent us from having a future. I give thanks that because of grace, our yesterdays don't get to hold our tomorrow's hostage. Yes, there are consequences for our behavior and for our choices, but generally speaking, the grace of God is a divine eraser, wiping the slate clean, giving us a fresh start, giving us a second chance, a third chance, a 23rd chance. Generally speaking, the grace of God is a huge divine umbrella covering us, protecting us, shielding us from the punishment that we earn through many dangers, toils, and snares. I have already come. 'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. Like most of us, John Newton had a past. And certainly there are folks that knew slaveholding John who could never imagine that God would have a life-saving mission for him. There are people that knew him that could never imagine that God would give him the words that would call generations of people back to God's love, the words that would call those who had strayed back home to God, the words that would help folks that had never known love come to know God's love. There certainly were folks that knew John Newton in one space and place who couldn't imagine what God would do for him with greater grace. The truth of the matter is there's some folks that know the old people, There's some folks that know the old me, and because of that, they can't see what God might do for us with greater grace. They just can't see what God's purpose and plan for our lives might be. And I wonder, when you tell your testimony, what role does grace play in? How many tracks does grace give on the soundtrack of your faith? I wonder what you have to say about God's grace. Can you really trace the hand of God's grace throughout your life? I wonder what you say to folks about the grace of God that covers you, the grace of God that converts crooked roads into straight paths and high mountains into level valleys. I wonder what you have to say about the grace that protects you morning, noon, and night. What's your word on grace that guides you when you have no idea where you are going and what you are doing? What do you say about God's grace that is sufficient? Sufficient when we're not. Sufficient when we lack sufficient wisdom. Sufficient when we lack sufficient strength. Grace that is enough. Enough, no matter how little or how much we bring to the table. The verse says, the Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Somebody needs to know that. He will your shield and portion be. Lord God, we thank you that your grace is enough today. Paul explained it this way in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. After he laid out all his credentials, explained why he could come to the table boasting or bragging, he then declared that there's nothing he had ever done that was worth bragging about. The only thing worth boasting or bragging on was God's presence and power, what God was doing among us. Friends, I wonder, when is the last time that we bragged on the Lord? When is the last time that we bragged on God? Paul's brag sounded like this. He said, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Paul says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power can rest on me. There might be someone feeling weak today. There might be someone who needs to know the power of God today. And you need to know that that doesn't lie in your own strength. That doesn't lie in what you bring to the table, but it's simply the gift of God's amazing grace. That's where we find power. And so Paul says, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulty. I delight in it. But when I'm weak, then I am strong. Friends, the amazing thing about God's grace is that it's always taking us to a greater place. Imagining for us a greater state. The Lord has promised good to me. The Lord has promised good to you. And it's grace that gets us there, church. I wonder what you know about it. I wonder if you've lived through any ugly, beautiful thing that would give you this type of praise that the hymn writer had. I wonder what you know about God's amazing grace this day. Apparently, John Newton had known grace even before he knew the Lord. The stories say he had several incidents in life where he avoided death miraculously. Amen. A time when he was thrown from a horse and just barely missed being impaled on a row of high spikes. another time where he was supposed to ride in a small boat out to tour a warship with friends, and he just missed the boat leaving. And as he stood there on the shore, he could see the capsize and drown everyone that was on board. He already knew about grace. 'Twas grace has brought me safe thus far. Grace that is a gift, y'all. Ephesians 2 says it this way, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. You didn't do nothing. This isn't about you, but this is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It is the gift of God. Friends, I wonder what your normal reaction is when you receive a gift. Do you say thank you? Do you send a note? Do you use that gift right away? Do you try to save it for a special occasion? Do you share your gift? Do you keep it all to yourself? Do you forget about it? Not even remember that you got the gift. I wonder what your reaction is when you receive a gift. And when you receive the gift of God's grace, I wonder, how do you say thank you? Is it through your worship? Is it through your service? Is it through your discipleship? I wonder, do you say thank you for the gift of God's grace? What's your response when you receive God's grace? Do you share it? Are you gracious with others? Or do you forget about it and take it for granted? I want us to watch a video, a short clip, if we're able. It's his coach, it's his guide, you see. This is a blind Olympian. Don't fill me with God. And so you see them, like, you see them running together. And that, when I saw that video a couple of weeks ago, it just hit my heart. In terms of what it looks like to share the grace of God. The verse, I once was blind, but now I see, just came. You don't even have to see. If some sighted person is willing to graciously share their gift with you, we don't even have to have it all together. It can truly show up as the kingdom of God, sharing whatever unique gift it is that God has given us. That's enough to bless the whole body of believers. As I watch this video and I see his blindfold, it reminds me to just trust God at work in our lives. You don't have to see the path. You don't have to understand what God is doing. You don't have to know what the next 19 steps are. You simply have to keep moving, trusting that God is the guide running alongside of you, knowing that as long as you live, as long as you breathe, the grace of God is at work in your life, that God has God's hands on you, trusting that as long as we live, blind or not, God is moving us toward our future with hope. God is moving us toward the good that God has promised. As you watch the video, you may not have even noticed that they were connected by a small road, tiny little road, from wrist to wrist, holding one to another, essentially tied together. Friends, that's the work of grace. It ties us to our Lord, no matter how far we move, how far we stray. That's the work of grace, to keep us connected to God. It is the anchor that holds us down when we need to be held down. It is the life jacket that lifts us up when we need to be. That grace, that little connected rope, it's like the oxygen mask that drops down for us just in the midst of time. Whatever it is that we need, grace is that, and it is enough. It's sufficient for whatever it is. Need. That little rope reminds us that we don't run this race alone, that God is always by our side, and not just by our side, but cheering us on and moving us forward. You You may not have been able to tell, but the coach was saying, go, David. Go, David. If you could read his lips, you could just see him saying, go, David. Friends, I wonder if you can hear the grace of God yelling in your ear today. I wonder if you can hear God saying something to you today. Go, Ashley. Go, Henry. Go, Martha. Go, Perry. Go, Bobby. Go, Minnie. Go, Marsha. Go, Tanya. Can you hear God's grace calling out to you today? Go, Kevin. Go, Kevin. Can you hear God speaking today? It doesn't matter if you've always kept up. It doesn't matter if you keep the pace of the Holy Spirit or fall behind. It doesn't matter if your knees are a little bit spiritually skinned. It doesn't matter if you've fallen more than you care to admit. It doesn't matter if you're the fastest runner or the slowest runner. Grace is still saying, go, David. Go, Eleanor. And not because we're perfect Pauls and perfect Patties. That's nothing to boast about, Paul says. But grace is still encouraging us because of God's great love for us. Love that bears all things, hopes all things, believes all things. Love that never fails. Great love. Great messy diaper kind of love. Great even when we're falling down, breaking stuff kind of love. Great love. Great grace. Great love that is a gift. And friends, the amazing thing about grace is that it's always taking us to a greater state. I hope you know that that promise is true for you too. Grace is not just for some folk, the super Christians, the perfect Pauls. Grace is for all. Grace is for all. Friends, I believe your life will change. You will never be the same when you begin to believe that for your life, that God's grace is for you too. God's promises will come true for you too. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. The amazing thing about grace is that it's always taking us to a greater state. Friends, let's expect God's greater grace in our lives. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.